Now I want to take up a few readings through the scriptures this evening. First of all, please, from Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. You know, as we've said before, we're here for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that is to preach the word, to preach the word of God. That's all that we have been instructed to do. We're not here to preach ourselves. We're here to preach the word of God, to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, as the Savior of sinners. And so we take time each evening to read from the word of God. So Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll commence reading in verse 1. And this it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Now, it's just verse 2 especially that I want you to just latch onto tonight. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Now, please, back in the Bible to the book of Numbers. Numbers and chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, reading from verse 41. And here it says this. Numbers chapter 16, verse 41. "But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." Just for verse 48 there. Just latch onto that tonight. "And he stood between the dead and the living." Now please, for a verse in 1 Samuel. And chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, I'm just going to read just part of a verse, verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, and this is what David is saying to his friend Jonathan, and he says this towards the end of the verse, "But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." There is but a step between me and death. And one final reading, and Paul's referred to it already in Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. And we are reading indeed, as Paul has made clear, not a parable, but a real account The Lord, he lifts back the veil and he allows you and me to just see through the pillar of death and to see into a very real eternity, two very real eternities for two men, one who is in Abraham's bosom and the other who was in hell. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19, the Lord Jesus says this, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." We know that God will be pleased to add his blessing upon the reading of his most precious word this evening. Now, you might just be wondering what it is that unites those portions that we have read together. Well, what unites those portions that we have read together is one simple word that I want to just impress upon you tonight. And that word is this: between. Between. It's a word we use very commonly in our modern parlance, but I want to impress this upon you, that the significance of that word when we come to the message of the gospel cannot be overstated. You see, we read four things. We read firstly of something between. Something between you and God. That's what we read in Isaiah 59. And then we read of someone. Someone between the dead and the living. That's what we read in Numbers in chapter 16. Then in 1 Samuel in chapter 20, we read of some time between me and death. And then we read finally, solemnly, in Luke 16, as we were getting a glimpse of eternity. And there we were learning that there is some seal, a great gulf fixed between us and you. Or to put it more simply, between heaven and hell. And that's just what I want to think of just very simply tonight. Something between you and your God. Someone between the dead and the living. Sometime between me and death. And some seal between heaven and hell. Well, you say, just tell me very simply what these things are, lest we don't get to the end of the meeting. Well, I shall tell you gladly. The something between you and your God Isaiah tells us, it is sin. It is sin. It is sin between you and your God. There's someone between the dead and the living. You say, well, who's that? We want to tell you gladly that it's a person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And he is standing between the dead and the living. He has come to give life, he could say, and to give it more abundantly. He wants to save you from the eternal burnings of hell. He stands between the dead and the living. Sometime between, you say, what's that? David says, there is but a step. That literally meant an actual step. And we might just think of that in its context for a moment. But the point was this, that whether long or short, his life was but as a vapor, as we have been reminded on previous nights, and he was very much just on the precipice of eternity. There is but a step between me and death. Something, sin, between you and your God. Someone, the Savior, between the dead and the living. Some time, but a step between me and death. We just trust that God will just impress those things upon you tonight. So we want to think firstly about Isaiah 59. There we were reminded of the something that is between you and your God. And says the prophet Isaiah, it is your sin. There, as we read those few verses together, the prophet Isaiah, he reminds the people about their condition. He speaks about their hands that are defiled with blood. He speaks about their fingers with iniquity. He speaks about their lips having spoken lies. And he speaks about their tongue that has muttered perverseness. But before all that, he just very simply and very succinctly says this, that your sin, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. We want to be as crystal as we can tonight. We appreciate that we are living in days where there are people out there that scarcely know what sin is, scarcely understand what the word even means, let alone this word iniquities. Now, Paul has very helpfully explained to us from the scriptures just what sin is. Sin is to miss the mark. Sin is to fall short of the standards that God requires. Sin is very simply to say this, not thy will, but mine. Yes. It's an act of defiance and rebellion against God. You know, the prophet Isaiah, as he begins in Isaiah in chapter 1, he speaks about the whole body being affected. From the very sole of our feet to the very crown of our head, it's just totally affected by a sin nature. You see, that's what sin has done. It corrupts our thinking. Paul is reminding us of that. It corrupts our thinking. It defiles our affections. That is what sin has done. And as a result, it manifests itself in a number of different ways. In the members, our hands, our fingers, our lips, our tongues. It's the places that you've been that you shouldn't ought to have been. It's the things that your eyes have looked upon that they should never have set eyes upon. It's the things that you have thought that you should never have thought. It's the things that you have said that you should never have said. Now, that is just something of the manifestation of sin. Sin takes a number of different forms, but very simply and succinctly, it is that that is totally against God. God says this and I do that. God says that and I do this. Oh, we like sheep, says the prophet Isaiah, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Paul is reminding us of just what sin has done. Sin is that which spoils us. It spoils us. We're not what we could be. We're not what we should be, because sin has spoiled us. Here the prophet Isaiah reminds us that sin has separated us. It separated us from God, because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is holy, holy, holy. And sin, it has separated us from the thrice holy God of eternity. So sin spoils us, and sin separates us. And the Bible makes it clear that if you neglect God's offer of salvation and come not to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, sin not only has spoiled you and not only has separated you, but it is your sin that will sentence you. For all eternity separate from God, because sin can never enter into God's heaven. Have you just considered your soul tonight? Have you just considered your standing before the thrice holy God of eternity? Have you come to a point that you have recognized that your sins, notice that, by the way, it's very personal. We're speaking to an audience, but we're tonight for convenience's sake, but the gospel is personal. The gospel is personal, and God says to you, it is your sins. It is your iniquities that has separated between you and your God. Something between sin, between you and God. Someone between the dead and the living. That's what we were thinking of there as we read in Numbers in chapter 16. Now, we appreciate that you might not understand what Numbers chapter 16 is all about. We want to just try and make it as simple and as clear as we can tonight, and to just bring out the application. What we read in Numbers chapter 16 was we really broke in to a scene of rebellion. There's been some amongst the children of Israel, God's chosen nation, that have risen up, and they've risen up to challenge Moses. And God has to deal judicially with them. And God utterly destroys them for their rebellion, because their rebellion is not against Moses, but against God, as all sin is against God. And so God, he utterly destroys them. And the next day, you would think the people would just appreciate something of the holiness and something of the righteousness of God and be in fear as a result, but they're not. They murmur again. They murmur again against Moses and against Aaron. And God's wrath is kindled again. And God is going to move in judgment again against them, and by way of a plague on this occasion. But what did we read? We read about Moses. And we read about Aaron. And Moses instructs Aaron, the priest, to go and take the fire from the altar. And take the incense. And take the censer. And get into the midst of the people to make an atonement for them. You say, well, what's that all about? Well, the idea of the atonement is the idea of something that would just turn away something of the wrath of God. God was right to be wrathful with them. God is just. Make no mistake about it. God is righteously angry with the wicked every day. But the idea of the atonement is the idea of the basis on which God's holy wrath can righteously be turned away, so that God can be a pardoning and a forgiving God. And so Moses, he sends Aaron with what? With the instruments of the sacrifice. the fire from the altar and with the incense to go into the midst of the people, to stand between the living and the dead, to make an atonement for them so that God's wrath might just be turned away. Someone between the dead and the living. On that occasion, it was Aaron. Today, we tell you, there is one who is standing between the dead and the living. And that's not Aaron. That's the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible uses a word in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you'll read this word atonement, atonement, atonement. In the New Testament, you'll read the word propitiation. And the Bible would make it clear that God has set forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. And by the way, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the world. So that God's righteous wrath against sin can be turned away. And God can righteously and judicially forgive you and set you on a straight and narrow way that leadeth to life and life everlasting. And it's all centered in who? The man Christ Jesus. The one who gave himself a propitiation. And we don't have time to explain the depth of that word, but the idea is this, that it is the basis on which God can be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, has done everything required upon Calvary's cross in his substitutionary sacrificial death so that God can look upon him and pardon me. The judgment that was mine and was yours to bear, he has borne it already. He has borne our sins in his own body on the tree. He has done everything so that God can righteously forgive you and to forgive me. And so we tell you tonight that there is someone between. There's someone between the dead and the living. There's one who has been lifted up upon a Roman cross so that you and that I might be saved from sin. Not only from the penalty of sin in hell and the lake of fire, but as Paul was reminding us, saved from the power of sin too, so that we might live lives for God's glory. He stands between the dead and the living. He wants to give us new life. He wants to forgive us of our sins. He wants us to fit us for heaven. Something between sin, between you and your God. Someone between the dead and the living, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. I don't have time to deal with the others, but I will just say this. And we impress it upon you that the message of the gospel is an urgent message. What is your life? It is even a vapor. There we were thinking of David in 1 Samuel in chapter 20. A step between me and death. What did he mean by that? Well, Saul, King Saul, he was seeking his life. He wanted to destroy him. And on a couple of occasions, he would throw the spear at him, the javelin at him, to try and end his life. And he was having to flee as a result. And he could say to his friend Jonathan, who was Saul's son, he could say, there's but a step. He is literally saying this, if I was just one way in the other direction, that spear would have pierced me and I'd be gone. There was a literal step between him and death. Now, the Bible makes it very clear, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I have been in places in my short life where with hindsight I recognize that I was but a step from death. I once had the madness with a friend to climb Mount Snowdon in the middle of a storm. Could hardly see. A wind was blowing 100 mile per hour gusts. And we were on the top trying to make it to the trig point, as you call it, to get to the very summit. we could hardly see the danger. But when I went back on another occasion and the clouds were gone and it was clear, what I realized was this, is that in trying to get up to that trig point, we were but a step from death. That wind could have taken us off the top of that trig point and down the mountain. But a step. As I was driving on my way home from work, I was driving out of the road that comes from Astley towards Ansley, and there's a tree. And every time I pass that tree, I am reminded that there is but a step. There is but a step between me and death. That was a tree where one Sunday morning, a young man just made a wrong calculation going around the bend, and he didn't make it. Rather than going left around the bend, he went straight on into the tree. His life was ended. But a step between me and death. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet God? Have you trusted his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation? Are you saved? At peace? Forgiven? Knowing heaven as your home? Because I will just say this, that once you pass that veil of death and into eternity, there is a great gulf fixed. Today there is opportunity to trust Christ for salvation. Once you have passed through the veil of death and into eternity, eternity is sealed. There's no such thing about purgatory. You don't read it. It's not there. No such thing about purgatory. No, not second chance to change your mind. If you neglect God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the decision that you make will be the decision that you will live with for all eternity. Something between sin, between you and God. Someone between the dead and the living. The man Christ Jesus. Some time between me and death, but a step, some seal, a great goal fixed between heaven and hell. Shall we pray?